Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5:30. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. A serving member of An Garda Síochána has appeared before Letterkenny District Court charged with rape and child cruelty in the county. Healthcare assistance in the Home Support Service in Donegal will strike for 2 days next month. Board BIA confirms its chairperson, Larry Murren, has the support of its board. There have been calls for his removal after it emerged his company has imported a small percentage of beef from Brazil. And concerns have been expressed over how air quality in Ballybofey is monitored. We'll hear from a local councillor following a meeting today. Later, machines here with sports news. That's coming up at around 6:15. But we begin with confirmation of a serving member of An Garda Síochána appearing in court in Letterkenny today, charged with rape and child cruelty in Donegal. RTE reports the man appeared before Letterkenny District Court facing two counts of raping a female, alleged to have occurred in 2021 at an address in the county. He is also charged with three counts of child cruelty between 2015 and 2024, as well as assault causing harm between April 2021 and April 2022. Bail was granted under strict conditions and the case was adjourned until March 3rd for the service of the Book of Evidence. Healthcare assistance in the Home Support Service in Donegal will strike for 2 days next month. Earlier this month, 95% of SIPTU staff in the Home Support Service voted for industrial action due to what they say is the employer's failure to honour improvements in terms and conditions which were agreed 8 years ago. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
SIPTU has confirmed this afternoon that the healthcare assistants in the HSE Home Support Service will carry out 24-hour work stoppages in Donegal on the 13th and the 20th of February. Stoppages will take place on other days in Cork, Kerry, Limerick and Clare. SIPTU organiser Graham Mackin says the failure of the HSE to honour agreed improvements in the HCA's terms and conditions has negatively impacted services to the detriment of workers and the clients they care for.
The situation, we've been waiting for management to actually come back and engage with us in a meaningful manner. That hasn't happened as yet. These individual workers provide very significant service to some of the most vulnerable members of society. So it's crucial that we get these issues resolved.
During the work stoppages, staff will not be available for their normal roster and pickets will be placed at the offices of their employers. Contingency arrangements for emergency issues relating to service users will be agreed with the employer.
Board BIA has announced its chairperson, Larry Murren, has the support of its board. It follows what CEO Jim O'Toole describes as a full, open and considered discussion during an emergency board meeting today. However, he said the decision was not unanimous, with the farmer organisations represented on the board, IFA and ICMSA, not supporting the chair. Sinn Féin has been calling for Mr Murren's resignation or removal following reports that his company, Dawn Farm Foods, imported a small percentage of beef from Brazil last year. Earlier today in the Dáil, Donegal Deputy and Sinn Féin Finance spokesperson Piers Doherty said Mr Murren is a government appointee and should be removed immediately.
The chair of Board BIA, the state agency responsible for promoting Irish food at the highest international standards, is also the director of a company who's importing Brazilian beef. Hormones in Brazilian beef banned in the European Union were in Ireland just in the last number of months. Now, the issue here is there has to be credibility. So I put it to you, with all of the facts that you know now, that are undisputed even by the chair himself, do you have confidence in the chair to continue as chair of Board BIA when he acknowledges that he is importing beef in his company from a region that does not live up to the same standards as Irish farmers, the length and breadth of this state?
That's from a discussion that took place with Taoiseach Simon Harris in the Dáil earlier while that emergency board BIA board meeting was taking place. You can hear that full discussion on our website, highlandradio.com. Concerns have been raised over how air quality has been monitored in Ballybofey. Speaking at a meeting of Lifford's Tronola Municipal District, Councillor Patrick McGowan said previous monitoring failed to deliver clear findings. He said that has left residents without certainty around local air quality levels. However, Councillor McGowan says new funding for a Peace Air project run by ERNACT could allow for more comprehensive and reliable monitoring into the future.
Now, there's been some monitoring carried out haphazardly here and there, and actually, I believe that even when they were completed, the They weren't even fully documented because there were staff allocated that hadn't been there to complete the studies and that. Now, the good news is that AIRNAC have secured a lot of European funding, and they're in a position now to maybe to roll out a much robust and a better scheme in Belfast. There is one or two locations, I think Buncrana, Letterkenny and somewhere else, that actually have permanent air quality monitoring. So I'm asking that there would be a permanent air quality monitoring put into, say, approximately around the Garda station in Belfast, because to me that's where a lot of the smog and fog and sort of, you know, a lot of the damage has probably been done, and then that would obviously spread out. Like, there has been others done, as they say, and they weren't fully completed, but they were in the outskirts of the town. So you need to do it where the worst. And hopefully now that this will be delivered on. I have asked for it on a number of occasions through motions and that, and sort of got mixed messages back. But as I say, now that we're aware that AIRNAC has secured European funding, have asked that now that Belfast would be prioritised within the county now for a good, proper monitoring of the air quality.
The Dáil has been told Uisce Éireann cannot use the Eddie Fullerton Dam as an excuse not to develop water infrastructure in Letterkenny. Deputy Patrick McLaughlin says the dam was constructed to supply water to Inishowen, but the fear now is it's becoming a primary water source for Letterkenny to the detriment of local homes in Inishowen. That, Deputy McLaughlin says, is not acceptable.
The Eddie Fullerton Dam is named after my late and great colleague, Councillor Eddie Fullerton, who fought for that for years, based just outside Buncrana. And it was always understood that that water would also be used to help other communities in Donegal. And the water is being directed up to Letterkenny, our major county town. And that's absolutely fine with me. But it shouldn't be going past houses that are being left behind in the Inishowen Peninsula. It should benefit Letterkenny, but there should also be other infrastructure plans around Letterkenny. Uisce Éireann have inherited this fantastic dam, this reservoir, this project, this water supply. But I believe that they are not developing around the hills of Letterkenny, and I believe they're bypassing homes in Inishowen, and it's causing concern.
There are renewed calls for defective concrete block committee meetings in Donegal to be publicly podcasted and broadcast online. The calls have come from its chair, the councillor Thomas Sean Devine, a member of the 100% Redress Party. He says committee meetings should be live streamed so affected families can follow the discussions in real time. He says meetings that have been streamed by the council have cost money, and he fears that the council is using cost as a reason not to stream these meetings.
The cost of the meetings that were streamed last year cost €22,500. There is no excuse, you know, these meetings last a couple of hours. Now, in fairness, the last meeting we had last week lasted well into the afternoon, which was a very productive meeting for the BPFI. And there's no excuse. These meetings need to be streamed live. I'm asking the councillors to back this motion once and for all on Monday and put an end to this. See whatever updates that come down to them meetings, that the homeowners can see what's happening.
A 30-year-old man was detained as part of the investigation into the murder of Wayne Reid in Coleraine and has now been released on bail. Mr. Reid was killed on Monday, January 12th. The man who was arrested has been released to allow for further inquiries. Police say a total of 9 people have now been arrested in connection with the investigation. 1 has been charged, 8 are released on bail. There's increased security at Shannon Airport this evening ahead of an expected stopover by a plane carrying US President Donald Trump. It's understood he won't leave the plane during what's expected to be a brief refueling stop. Jamie O'Hara is at Shannon Airport.
Shannon Airport is operating as usual this evening. However, there is a noticeable increase in security in the terminal and on the road into the airport. It's not yet known when Air Force One will land, but it's expected President Donald Trump will remain on the plane during the refueling stop before returning across the Atlantic. The 47th president is on his way back to the United States after speaking at the World Economic Forum at Davos in Switzerland. Shannon Airport has not commented on the incoming flight. Jamie O'Hara, Shannon Airport in County Clare.
A Donegal nun has received a papal appointment. Sister Mary T. Barron is one of 19 newly appointed consultors to the Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue by Pope Leo. Sister Barron, a native of Manor Cunningham, is the Superior General of the Missionary Sisters of Our Lady of the Apostles and has travelled widely with her congregation. The Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue oversees relations with members and groups of non-Christian religions, with the exception of Judaism. Sister Barron says given the current global climate, interreligious dialogue is vital.
All faiths have certain values, and they're human values. And, you know, when we emphasise what's common and work towards sharing those values, it's when we start exaggerating our differences. This week I was just, I think it was John Hume's birthday the other day, and there was a beautiful quote from him, you know, talking about respecting diversity. And he was talking about the Northern Ireland situation, which was two different Christian groups fighting. But, you know, just that being able to see the other not as my enemy. We're all in this world together. So it's, yeah, really, how can we journey together respecting each other and not exaggerating our differences, but actually finding what's common for the good of society today.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with running shoes from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's approaching 16 minutes to 6 o'clock. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. Well, we're going to start with motorsport and the Monte Carlo Rally. The opening round of the World Rally Championship started today, and for the first time ever, a Donegal man is contesting all rounds of the WR season in the top-level Rally 1 category. Brookless native Shane Byrne is calling the notes for Fermanagh's John Armstrong in the Ford Puma Rally 1, and the Irish crew started impressively with the 6th fastest time on the opening test today. M Sport teammates Josh McAuley from Derry and Cork's own Tracy were 13th, while Tyrone's Aaron Johnston, who's calling the notes for Taka Katsuta, they were the 5th quickest. But as expected, the Toyotas dominated the first stage, with Elvin Evans fastest by 5 seconds from Oliver Solberg and 9-time champion Sebastian Ogier. The crews are just starting the second stage of the day in the dark as Shane Byrne continues his very exciting journey in the World Rally Championship. On to Gaelic games, St Eunan's College have progressed to the McLaren Cup final after defeating Holy Trinity College Cookstown at the O'Donnell Park today. The Letterkenny school raced into a 3-5 to 4-point lead after just 24 minutes and led 3-5 to 6 at the break. Those first half goals coming from Jack Robinson, Jack Duddy and Matthew McGinley. Cookstown made a fight of it in the second period but couldn't undo the damage done in the first half, and St Eunan's ran out worthy, 3-13 to 1-12 winners, and they will now contest their first McLaren Cup final since 2018. They haven't won it since 2014, and we will have a reaction to that victory on the Score programme later. To football, Sadio Diallo has left Derry City to join Bohemians following the end of his contract at the Brandywell. The former Manchester City Academy player joined the Candy Stripes during the 2022 season and made 108 appearances for the club in his 3.5-year spell. Bo's boss Alan Reynolds says they've signed one of the top midfielders in the country. Cross Channel, Manchester United have confirmed Casemiro will leave the club at the end of the season when his contract expires. The Brazilian has played 146 games since joining from Real Madrid in 2022. The 33-year-old is one of the highest earners at Old Trafford. On the pitch tonight, Celtic will aim to take a step closer to reaching the knockout stages of the Europa League. They go into the penultimate group phase game away to Italian side Bologna, 6 points outside the top eight. Andrew manager Martin O'Neill wants his players to give everything.
I think that we're well aware that we've got a big fight in our hands from a side that wants to try and make it to the top eight. It is away from home. It's a difficult task for us, but all we can do is really put absolutely heart and soul into it, and that's what we intend to do.
Aston Villa are also in action tonight, but they will be without a number of key players, including captain John McGinn, for their game against Fenerbahce. Nottingham Forest continue their bid to make the knockout stages by travelling to Portugal to face Braga, and Rangers take on Ludengratz at Ibrox. On the golf front, Rory McIlroy has work to do at the Dubai Desert Classic after a tough opening round left him 8 shots off the lead. The Masters champion signed for a 1-over par 73. Shane Lowry, however, has started better. The Offaly man has opened with a 2-under par round of 70 at the Emirates Golf Club, where Francesco Molinari is the clubhouse leader at 7-under. Defending champion Tyrrell Hatton also sits at 2-under. In horse racing, Dylan Brown McMonagall was back in the winner's enclosure this week in Hong Kong. The Letterkenny jockey was on board Dragon Air Force in the Green Island Handicap on Wednesday. That horse went to post at 31-10 and is Brown McMonagall's second win of the year in Hong Kong, having had his first at the same venue on Saturday. And finally, after the winter break, the Score programme returns this evening here in Highland. We will hear from Oscar trainer-manager Eamon Sheridan ahead of their semi-final against Limerick in Castlebar. Institute manager Peter Hutton tells us about their season in the Irish League Championship, and also Cass and I on some League of Ireland matters. In schools GA action, we'll get reaction to St Union's victory today. And there's colleges GA with Maxi Kern. The ATU manager discusses their Trench Cup campaign, as well as the Donegal senior men and women who kick off their National Football League campaigns this weekend. It's all happening on The Score tonight, presented by Mark Gallagher. And that's on the way after the 7 o'clock news. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. It's a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, first up this evening, I want to tell you about an organic inspections record-keeping workshop which will be taking place in the Chagas offices in Letterkenny next month. Well, to tell me more about the event, I've been joined on the line by Cathal McCauley, Organics Advisor with Chagas. Cathal, perhaps you could start by just giving us maybe a summary of what exactly this event entails.
Yeah. So thanks very much for having me on, Chris. So the event is an organics inspections and record-keeping workshop. So it's basically where we will be getting in members from the organic certification bodies to go through common non-compliances that they are coming across during inspections. And we're going to get them then, I suppose, to give farmers an idea of how to avoid these non-compliances in relation to record keeping and acquiring the correct derogations, etc., that are required to make sure that these non-compliances are avoided during farm inspections. We'll also go through during the event of how to correctly complete the organic farming records. And it's also a very good opportunity for farmers to discuss individual issues that they may have with the certification body inspectors on the day.
And just what are the implications if you're not doing it correctly? You know, how big are the penalties or the potential pitfalls?
Yes, so I suppose, again, that's something that we will cover on the night, but depending on the level of the non-compliance, so if it's a very severe non-compliance, there can be a very severe penalty in relation to the organic farming scheme payment, and if it's a lesser non-compliance, the actual penalty will be less. So I suppose it depends on the severity of the non-compliance, and we will give examples on the night as to or on the day as to what exactly the financial penalty will be for the different non-compliances. And I suppose the idea of this event or workshop is to try and make sure that farmers avoid these non-compliances, that they know about them in advance and that they have their records right for inspection to make sure, whereas far as possible, that farmers can avoid these non-compliances during inspections.
Now, I was looking at some recent CSO figures, and it said that in the region of 5,600 farmers now farming organically, and that would include over 700 who entered conversion in January last year. Here in Donegal, you've seen significant numbers getting involved as well.
Yes, that's correct. So I suppose I cover Sligo, Leitrim and Donegal as an organic advisor, and there's out of them 5,600 farmers, there's in or around, give or take, 1,100 of them is within the Sligo, Leitrim, Donegal region. So it's in or around 20% of all organic farmers is within this region that I'm covering. So there is a huge interest in organic farming and in the region, and I would strongly encourage all organic farmers to come along to this event and to give themselves the best opportunity of having their records correct. And I suppose the more you know in relation to the inspections and how they're carried out, the more likely it is you're going to have the records correct during the inspection. So I suppose I'm strongly encouraging anyone that has entered into organics over the last number of years, and indeed people that have been in organics for a long number of years, they're very welcome to, and indeed encouraged to come along to this event.
And the outlook, are we likely to see that trend continuing with more people getting involved in organics?
Yes, well, I suppose in the large numbers of applicants are now probably into the scheme. The scheme did open at the back end of 2025, and hopefully them people that applied at the back end of 2025 should hear whether they are going to be accepted into the scheme before the end of January. So we would hope that them people should have heard before this event takes place whether they are accepted into the scheme or not. But the numbers entering into the organics has dropped since the start. So I suppose most of the people that were thinking of entering have sort of entered over the last 3 years. But there will be opportunities for people to join the organic scheme into the future as well. So that opportunity, we hope, will always be there for farmers if they want to join the organic farming scheme.
And I suppose it's a sign of people looking at ways of diversification in many respects.
Yes, exactly. I suppose it's people looking at diversification. It's also people looking at another form of income coming on to their farm as well. So, and as you say, in relation to diversification, you know, there's a lot of organic farmers out there that, for example, will be doing a little bit of growing a little bit of their own feed. Doing a bit of beef and lamb and I suppose, as you say, very, very diverse farming practices, and it's very good to see that you know, a lot of what's needed within the farm gate is grown within the farm gate, and then they have their beef and lamb and maybe a small bit of cereal to sell off.
Yeah, and if people maybe want to find out more information, they can contact yourself or go through your local Chagas office, and you'll certainly guide them in the right direction.
Yes, for sure, yeah. So anyone that's maybe interested in finding out more about organics in general can contact myself. And indeed, I'd, as I say, anyone that's maybe already in organics and wants to know more about the inspection process and record keeping, I'd strongly encourage them to come to the event.
And just to remind us again, the event, when it's on and at what time and what date.
Okay, so yeah, the event, so it's again, it's an organic inspections and record keeping workshop. It's on Thursday the 12th of February from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. in the Chagas office in Letterkenny. So and again, I say it doesn't matter if you're a Chagas client or a non-Chagas client, everyone is welcome to come to the event.
And do people need to register in advance?
No, there's no previous registration for this event, so if you're interested in coming, just come along at 4 o'clock on Thursday, the 12th of February.
And that was Cathal McCauley, Organics Advisor with Chagas. Well, as you may have heard, the European Parliament narrowly voted to refer the EU-Mercosur trade deal to the European Court of Justice. The vote was exceptionally tight, passing by 334 votes to 324, underlining the deep political decision surrounding the proposed trade pact between the EU and the Mercosur countries, which includes Brazil and Argentina. The referral follows a legal challenge by a group of MEPs who are seeking clarity on whether the deal would restrict the EU's ability to set down its own environmental, food safety and consumer health standards. And until the court delivers its opinion, the European Parliament cannot vote on whether to approve or reject the agreement. For Irish beef farmers in particular, the decision represents a significant development in a debate that has raised fears of price pressure, unfair competition and lower production standards. While the vote does not kill the deal outright, it introduces major uncertainty and buys time for further scrutiny of its implications for agriculture, the environment and rural livelihoods. Well, in other farming news this week, the ICSA sheep chair, Willie Shaw, has said that sheep farmers are furious at the continued collapse in prices that completely defies what he says is the reality of drastically reduced sheep numbers. He pointed out that this time last year, hoggets were making in excess of €9 a kilo, but this week farmers are barely getting €8 a kilo. And he added that what makes this even harder to understand is that farmers in other countries are being paid significantly more. In the UK, prices are well over €8 a kilo. In France, they're close to €10 a kilo. And in Spain, they're approaching €11 a kilo. Sheep throughput was down by around 20% last year, or approximately 600,000 sheep. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Looking at the weather forecast, mostly cloudy this evening and into tonight with outbreaks of rain slowly clearing northwards. Clear spells and showers following with some mist and fog patches. Lowest overnight temperature 0 to 4 degrees Celsius. Moderate to fresh easterly winds easing light and variable. Tomorrow will start dry and bright with some isolated showers, but cloudier conditions with outbreaks of rain will spread through the day. Top temperatures on Friday 5 to 8 degrees Celsius. Looking at the headlines before we go, a serving member of An Garda Síochána has appeared before Letterkenny District Court charged with rape and child cruelty in Donegal. Healthcare assistants in the Home Support Service in the county are to strike for 2 days next month. Board Bia confirms its chairperson Larry Moran has the support of the board and will remain in situ. And the Dáil has been told Uisce Éireann cannot use the Eddie Fullerton Dam as an excuse not to develop water infrastructure in Letterkenny. We're back with news again at 7 o'clock. Check all today's news on highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening.
The obituary notices this Thursday evening, January 22nd. The death has occurred of Des Kavanagh, Roslyn Taylor's Hill, Galway City, Galway, and formerly of Clonmany. Remains are reposing at the family home on Taylor's Hill, Roslyn, until 8 o'clock today. Requiem Mass will be celebrated for Des on arrival at St Joseph's Parish Church, Presentation Road, at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Following Mass, he will be laid to rest in Rathun Cemetery. Mass will be streamed on MCN.live. The death has taken place of Anne Larkin, née Gallagher, 3 Rosemount Villas, Letterkenny. Anne will be reposing at her son Alex's residence, Glencarscotch, Letterkenny, from 7 p.m. until after the rosary at 9 o'clock today and from 11 a.m. until after the rosary at 9 p.m. tomorrow. House is strictly private at the request of the deceased to family, close friends and neighbours only, please. Funeral Mass on Saturday at 1:30 in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with burial afterwards in Leck Cemetery. Mass can be viewed at stunanscathedral.ie. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Catherine Gamble, née Deveny, formerly of Carrigans. Funeral service in Dean Orr, Hay and Sons Funeral Home, 24A Church Road, Eltnagelvin, Derry, on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in Eltnagelvin Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Waterside Presbyterian Church, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, Funeral Director. All welcome to the funeral home tomorrow from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock and from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. The death has occurred of Frank Kelly, 14 Ballinacore Crossroads, Killygordon, reposing at his home today until 9 p.m. and tomorrow from 12 noon until 9 o'clock. Funeral from there on Saturday at 22:11 for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killygordon, interment in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish YouTube channel. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Donations, if desired, to Donegal Hospice. The death has taken place of Alphonsus Alfie McBride, 10 Muckish Terrace, Creasla. His remains will arrive at St Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow at 6 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass there on Saturday at 11 a.m. Burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. The funeral Mass can be viewed online at mcn.live. The death has taken place of Francis Kelly Jr., Glentiskert, Glengad. Francis's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday at 11:15 for 12 p.m. Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church Lag, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Pieta House, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of George Doherty, G. Molly's Bray, Churchtown, Carndonagh. His remains are reposing at his home. Removal from there on Saturday at 10:30, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh for 11:00 Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Beech Hill Manor Private Nursing Home, care of any family member or Blaine McCarran Kelly's Funeral Directors. For family information and more detail regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com. Highland
Radio. From 4 p.m. to 8 p.m, it's rush hour on Irish roads. Rush hour is also crash hour. As people take to the roads this evening, they are reminded that rush hour is a high-risk time. All road users are encouraged to carry out their journey with additional care during this time. Crash hour will continue from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. throughout the week. A message from the Road Safety Authority. See rsa.ie.
If you're feeling unwell, Clinic 45 is now open.